Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
I thank the Lord for letting me stay around a little longer. Feel like I've got a lot more to give.
Yes, he does, and we certainly hope so. Buddy Guy, from a childhood spent picking cotton and Louisiana to becoming one of the most influential guitar players of all time. Buddy, it's great to talk to you again. How you doing?
Well, same here. You know, I'm doing pretty good compared to what we're going through with, but, you know, you got to deal with whatever that is, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. I know people like Eric Clapton and the Rolling Stones worship your guitar playing, but I got to tell you, I love your singing. Your voice is so beautiful and dripping in soul. What's your secret at 85? Because you still sound and play like a young man.
Well, thanks, because I didn't realize that. No, I don't know. You know, in Louisiana, coming up at a young age, we didn't have instruments as we have today, so it was all voices. And a lot of it was gospel. You know, a lot of gospel singers, including Lou Rawls and the Pilgrim Travelers and people like that, they didn't have drums and keyboards. They would come into the schools or the churches and just sing with the voices like that, and I got hooked onto that at my early age.
So many honors and awards. Is there one that meant more to you than the rest?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out, but my biggest thing is I wanted to say it in the White House, but someone told me don't say it. You know, I used to pick cotton, you know, and I got there and it's playing it in the White House. I wanted to say this is a long ways from picking cotton in the outhouse to the White House.
That's a good line. I like that.
I tried to say it, but someone said, no, that's a little too strong to be in the White House to talk like that. So I had to kind of cut that away a little bit. But coming out of a sharecropper's son, don't even have a high school education, and to be able to play your way into the White House, into Africa and around the world, I'm blessed with that. You know, that's something, was a gift, I guess, from day one with me. You know, I didn't learn nothing in school. I'd never been taught how to play the guitar. I taught myself how to do that.
Reading up on your life in your book, When I Left Home, I was surprised to find out as recently as 1967, you were working as a tow truck driver in Chicago while you were playing small clubs. What took so long for your great talents to be appreciated and recognized?
I think the British groups helped us all a lot. I was just listening to B.B. King on my way here on satellite radio, and he was saying that Eric Clapton talked about him, and that's give him a chance to go to England. And I didn't know I had beat him there, but I went to England in 65, but I went by myself and played with the Yardbirds, and Rod Stewart was my valet.
When you were inducted into the Rock Hall of Fame in 2005 by Eric Clapton and also B.B. King, Eric Clapton said, no matter how great the song or performance, my ear would always find him out. He stood out in the mix simply by virtue of the originality and vitality of his playing. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, to hear from people saying like that, because, you know, I never figured out that I was doing something good. I just played and give you the best that I got. My dad gave me a little story before I left Louisiana. He said, son, don't be the best in town. Just be the best till the best come around.
You're still playing in January. You'll be at your club, Buddy Guy's Legends, once again. And you're on the road all the time, as recently as a few years ago. You're playing more than 100 gigs. To paraphrase your old pal, B.B. King, how do you keep the thrill from being gone?
Well, you know, music kind of makes smiles come on some people's face. And whenever I go to the stages and play, I forget about myself. And I was trying to tell my sons and other young people that I know how to don't blame yourself. You're always looking at other people's face. And if you can hit a note or sing a note and you see a smile come on the face, all you got to do is say, I got you now. Just hold it. You know, that's what, when I learned how to squeeze the strings on the guitar, when I played a note, if I squeezed it and somebody had a frown and a big smile on the face, I say, I better squeeze it a little more.
Let me play a bit of one of my favorite Buddy Guy songs. I love the message here. Let's listen to a little bit of this, and then we'll talk. This is Skin Deep.
Just like you can't judge a book by the cover, we all got to be careful how we treat one another. Skin deep. Skin deep. Underneath, we all the same.
Buddy Guy, I think I've played that 1,000 times and never get tired of it. You should be really proud of that song.
Well, what makes me more proud about it, that's a line from my mother. You know, I think I was about 9 years old when we didn't have running water, electricity. And she was combing her hair about it as the sun went down in the evening at an old broken mirror. And I dashed between her and the mirror. I said, Mom, I think I'm kind of good looking. And she didn't crack a smile. She said, Son, good looking is only skin deep. And I never forgot that. And I'll carry that the rest of my life. So I decided to write that song about it.
It's a wonderful, wonderful track. For more than 25 years, Chicago blues legend Buddy Guy has been delighting the crowds with his annual January residency at his namesake South Loop Club, Buddy Guy's Legends. And, of course, it was closed last year because of the pandemic. But Buddy's back Thursday through Sunday every week in January. And my favorite part of those shows, I don't know if you still do this all the time, Buddy, but one cold night I saw you, and you go right outside the door with your guitar, and you're playing outside for a couple minutes before you come back in the club. And I always think somebody just walking around Chicago on Michigan Avenue on a winter night runs into Buddy Guy playing live on the sidewalk. I love that bit. Do you still do that?
Well, yeah, because I still don't think I'm good as some people think I am. So I say, well, let me go out here and maybe somebody will pass by and say, what nut that is out here in this kind of weather? And who is he? You know, and maybe I'll go, they'll come in there and say, let me see what's going on with this, you know, because here's a nut in the street with a guitar and this kind of cold weather. Matter of fact, when I decided to play in January, I said, well, I better play in January because it'd be too cold for people to stay outside. Maybe they'll come in and listen to me.
I think they know who you are. Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about Chess Records. You signed with them back in the day and then moved on from there. But I've been on this campaign on TV and radio for years and nothing seems to happen. Shouldn't that 2120 South Michigan Avenue studio be spiffed up as a world-class tourist attraction?
I think they tried that. I didn't get involved with it too much because I don't want to call names, but we also put a good piece of money to preserve Muddy Waters' house on 43rd and Lake Park.
Oh, yeah, that's been classified a landmark now, hasn't it?
It's been a landmark, but it was falling down because the manager he had after he died, the manager was managing me, and I don't think I was dumb as he thought I was. So he wanted to move the house on 43rd in front of my old blues club, the Checkerboard, and I said, no, that wouldn't be right. And I understand lately they decided to upgrade it now and it's going to become a museum.
Well, that's fantastic. And I think the same thing ought to happen over at Chess at 2120 South Michigan Avenue, where you started and so many greats played.
They had, I think, Willie Dixon's children and his late wife was running it. I went by there once since they did that, and lately I don't know, because I have some foreign people come in now and say, I want to see the Chess.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and couldn't get in. So I don't know what's going on with it right now, because I did my best to try to get things here. I even had a friend send up $2 million trying to get a blues museum in Chicago. And everywhere I got a blues museum but Chicago. Chicago lets everything slip away till later on. Then they say, oh, I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a blues museum in Nashville. Now, Nashville was noted that when I was a child as what they call country and western music. Chicago, when I first went to Europe, Chicago was the blues capital of the world, man. And how you can you let that slip away with the great Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Sonny Boy?
Mm-hmm.
All the great blues players, some of them left here and started living in Europe because the old upright piano, we didn't have the electric pianos. And they left here and went to Europe because Europe was accepting us before America was. And then Memphis Slim, Eddie Boyd, Willie Mabon, all of them died in Europe because they got sick of what was going on here. We didn't get what we deserve here. Not me. I'm just a student. But Muddy Waters and all of them, they should have statues. They got a statue of Stevie Ray Vaughan in Austin, Texas. And I don't see a statue of Muddy Waters nowhere.
Well, there is what's wrong right there in the sentence you uttered here about a minute ago. You tried to get into chess, but couldn't get in. Buddy Guy, you're the greatest, buddy. And tickets are going fast for your 16 shows in January. Go to buddyguy.com. So great to catch up with you again. Please stay healthy. I can't wait to see you at Buddy Guy's Legends. And you are a living, working, singing, playing statue, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me. And please help me keep the blues alive.